Squad Cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, March the 4th, 10:23 p.m. The corner of Polly and Fox Streets. A man is walking south. Thrown by the streetlights, his long shadow bounces and weaves along the pavement before him. His gait is unsteady. His senses are blurred so that he does not hear the soft footsteps behind him. Indeed, he is not aware that he is not alone until the other man is close beside him.
Hey, hang on a sec, man. You got a match?
The match? Oh, yeah. Got one here somewhere. Matches. Matches. Wait a minute. Oh, here we are. Matches.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
That's okay, man.
Didn't I see you just now?
Where?
In the bar there, in the Empire.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, you were through in the private bar. I could see you from the other bar. You were having a good time, eh?
Yeah, I enjoyed drink and a good story. I had a lot of laughs tonight. It's terrific.
You looked as though you was buying drinks for Africa.
They're good boys. Friends of mine.
Well, I hope you didn't let them take advantage of you.
Never, man, never.
I haven't seen you in the Empire Bar before.
No, I live in Boxburg. I'm on the mines there. Day off today. Come into town to see about some glasses. I ran into this butcher of mine and we decided to have a few drinks. He said we should go from the Empire. Said they have a nice crowd there.
Ooh, they are very lively.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd be getting along, man.
Just hang on a sec, eh?
Yeah.
I'm a bit down on my luck, you know. I was wondering if you could stake me to a meal.
Now, listen, man. If you're down on your luck, no right to be drinking in the Empire.
What do you mean?
Well, you must have had money to buy drinks.
Right enough for a sherry.
You don't look that tight to me. Clothes too good.
Now you've got plenty of money.
How do you know?
Oh, I saw you with it. A wallet full.
Listen, friend, there's hard-earned money. Money I work for. You look fit and healthy to me, capable of doing job work.
Come on, man, just a couple of rand, eh?
Not a chance. Leave me alone. Go and bother somebody else.
Just a couple of rand.
Hey, take your hand off my jacket.
Or else what?
Well, I may have had one over the ape, but I can handle myself all right.
Give me that wallet.
Well, I won't tell you again. Take your hand off my jacket.
Shut up. Hey, I want that wallet.
Help.
Shut up.
Help me, somebody.
I said shut up.
Help.
Shut up.
Oh, don't hit me.
I'll eat you, man. I'll kill you, man.
I got a wife and kids. I wasn't bothering you.
Shut up.
No, man. Leave me alone.
You're flashing your money around. Get cheeky with me. I'll stomp you right into the ground.
Please leave me alone, man. Kick me, man.
Kick you, man. I'll kill you. Swine. Thought he was better than me, eh? Swine. Yeah, he's gonna wake up and find his wallet gone. Nice fat wallet it is, too, eh? Yeah, not a bad watch either. All right, my friend. We'll have that also. Here we are. My friend, I'd leave your money for some aspirins. But I've got no small change.
11:05 p.m. John Powley, a newspaper man, having discovered the body of the miner in the gutter while on his way from the Empire Bar to his newspaper office, and having phoned the flying squad, waits with a group of men at the scene of the murder for the arrival of a squad car.
Control to car 23. Come in, car 23.
Car 23 to control, receiving you. Over.
Proceed to the corner of Polly and Fox Streets, where the discovery of a body has been reported. Investigate and report your findings. Over.
We're en route for the position you indicate. Message received and understood. Over and out.
Good evening, Constable.
Good evening. Where's the body?
Under the blanket there.
Have you got a torch, Johnny?
Yeah.
Let's have it.
Come on, you people. Must stand back.
We'll back.
Come on. Come on. We'll back.
Here's a torch.
Thanks. Just pull the blanket back a bit, will you?
That's it. G.
What happened to him?
That's easy. He was kicked in the head.
Terrible, eh?
Terrible.
Come on, you people. The show's over. Move along now, please.
Go on, Yanni. You'd better report into control. It'll mean another late-night call for Lieutenant Labuschagne of the murder squad, Brixton.
March the 5th, 12:10 a.m. The morbid crowd of sightseers has resisted the efforts of Constables Faree and Williamson to disperse it. They are still there when Lieutenant Labuschagne arrives. And, of course, his arrival gives the crowd more material for discussion.
I saw this man.
Come along now. Will you move along, please? Move along now. Please, no crowds. There's nothing to see. It's time you went home. Will you move along there, please?
Good evening, Consul.
Good evening, sir.
These are the sort of people who used to attend public executions.
Yes, sir. We've tried everything. They just won't go away.
Mm. Who's your partner?
Constable Williamson, sir.
Well, get him to keep those people away. To give me some room in which to work.
Did you catch that, Yanni?
Yeah. Move along.
And you, Constable, you can hold the torch for me.
Right, sir.
Let's see. He's in a bad shape, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, we won't have to rely on the district surgeon's report to establish the cause of death.
No, sir.
I've seen men who've been kicked in the head before, but I've never seen one like this. This indentation here is in the shape of a heel. He's been stamped on very hard, right in the middle of the forehead. Poor devil. Well, we better have a look through his pockets. Pipe smoker. Pipe. Pouch. Matches. Another pocket. Nothing. Pocket fluff. Trouser pockets. Car keys. Pen knife. Handkerchief. With the initial E. There, we're getting somewhere, Constable.
Yes, sir.
Inside. Jacket pocket. This is better. A letter addressed to Mr. E. Nagel, 70 Westlake Terrace, Boxburg. E on the handkerchief. E on the envelope. Well, the odds are less than 5-1 that the deceased is E. Nagel. No. Let's have a look and see what the letter says. It's a letter from an optician in Jeffrey Street telling Mr. Nagel that his appointment is for 3:15 p.m. on March the 4th. Well, that was yesterday. We won't have any trouble identifying this one. There's more than enough to go on. I wonder what time it happened. Oh, well, district surgeon will be able to answer that one. Now, if he lives in Boxburg and had an appointment in Johannesburg here at 3:15, must have been having his eyes tested. And that would take, well, let's say half an hour to 3/4 hour. Now, where was he from about 4 o'clock until this happened? Can you spell liquor on him, Constable?
Yes, sir.
A lot or a bit?
There's a faint smell of liquor.
He was probably in the Empire. And he must have been walking down this way, around about closing down. Now, why would he be coming down here? Of course, his car. Constable?
Yes, sir.
So let's go down the road a bit and see if you can find a car with a Boxburg registration number. These keys should fit it when you find it.
Right, sir.
And you, Constable?
Yes, sir.
Is there a watch on him?
No, sir.
Let's have a look at that left wrist. He was wearing one. See the mark?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, we'll wait to hear what the district surgeon has to say before we make a start.
Boxburg, 5:30 a.m. Having called at number 17 Westlake Terrace and spoken to Mrs. Elsie Nagel, informing her of her husband's death, and having waited until she was able to answer some questions, Lieutenant Labuschagne says...
You feel better, Mrs. Nagel?
Yes.
Did your husband go up to Johannesburg by himself?
Yes.
Is your husband a drinking man?
Well, he likes a beer and a spot now and again.
Mm-hmm. Not an habitual drinker?
No.
Did he frequent bars?
No.
Mrs. Nagel, I take it your husband went to Joburg to see about his glasses.
Yes, that's right.
Was he going to have his eyes tested?
No, he went to collect a pair. Two pairs, as a matter of fact.
That's funny.
What?
We haven't found any glasses.
Well, that's what he went to town for. That's why he took the money with him.
How much money?
A lot. Well, it was a lot for us. It was 70 rand.
Well, we didn't find that either.
We didn't know how much they'd be. I told them to be sure and take enough.
I see. Was this money loose in his pockets?
No. Etienne was always very careful with his money. He puts it in his wallet.
His wallet, so another thing we didn't find. Did he phone you at all yesterday?
No. No, we haven't got a phone.
Oh.
Why?
Now, I was wondering whether he'd met anybody, you know, somebody he knew, and gone off for a bite to eat and a drink with him.
I don't know.
Mrs. Nagel, why did your husband take money with him for the glasses? I mean, why didn't he wait to get an account?
Well, Etienne was funny about things like that. He liked to pay his way. He paid cash for everything. If we couldn't afford it, we didn't have it. He didn't like accounts.
I see. This wallet, what did it look like?
Well, I could draw it for you if you like, if that would help.
Well, it would help a great deal.
I've got some paper here somewhere.
We can do that presently, Mrs. Nagel. About your husband's watch.
Yes?
What sort of watch was it?
Well, it was nothing very fancy. We couldn't afford a lot.
How much did you pay for it?
About 28 rand, I think.
What sort was it? Do you remember?
Yes, it was a Delta. It looked like gold, but I don't suppose it was.
Where did you buy it?
We got it in Joburg. It was about 3 years ago. Shop in Commissioner Street.
Right. Thank you, Mrs. Nagel. You've given me a lot of very valuable information.
Police Headquarters, 8:53 a.m. Lieutenant Labuschagne is conferring with Major Monroe of the murder squad, Brixton.
As far as can be ascertained, the only things he was robbed of were his watch and wallet.
Well, what about the glasses?
No, I've cleared that mystery up. That was my last call to the opticians. I was waiting for him when he opened shop. Nagel didn't collect the glasses. He went for them, all right, but they weren't ready. There'd been a mix-up. So, Nagel must have had a wallet full of money, sir.
You haven't wasted any time. Yeah, what are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going from here to that jeweler in Commissioner Street, the one who supplied the watch.
Good. And then?
Well, I wonder if you could arrange something for me while I'm doing that, sir.
What do you want?
Well, I'd like a team of men to search that area from, say, Kirk Street to Marshall, between Troy and Moy Streets. I want the wallet, sir. Well, I'll go and join the search myself after I've got what I want from the jeweler.
9:36 a.m. Lieutenant Labuschagne is driven across Johannesburg to the teeming thoroughfare that is Commissioner Street. He goes into the jeweler's, which was indicated to him during his interview with the deceased's widow, and he introduces himself to the proprietor, Mr. Israel Hyman.
Lieutenant Labuschagne, murder squad, Brixton.
How do you do? What can I do for you? No trouble, I hope.
No, not for you, Mr. Hyman. It's about a watch you sold to a customer.
Yes?
It was 3 years ago. Have you got records?
Records, of course. What sort of watch was it?
A Delta.
A Delta, yeah. To whom was it sold?
Mr. Nagel. Etienne Nagel. Knoxburg address.
Nagel, let's have a look. Now, where are my glasses?
They're up on your forehead, Mr. Hyman.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Now, that's better. Now, Delta book. Here we are. The name again, what you said it was?
Nagel. N-A-G-E-L.
Nagel. Let me see. 3 years ago, was it?
No, about that, yeah. I'm not sure of the date.
Yeah. Wait a minute. E. Nagel, number 17, Westlake Terrace, Boxburg. Is that it?
That's the one.
Yeah, what do you want now? The serial number?
Please.
Yeah, you got maybe something to write it on?
Yes.
Good, all right. Yeah. Okay, here it is. SDE 1678-621-30-2.
Got it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, somebody lost something, maybe?
Yes.
Lost the watch, huh?
He lost more than that, Mr. Hammond.
10:03 a.m. Having traveled via Main Street, Lieutenant Lovis Cockney joins Warrant Officer Brodrake and his team of men on a parking site at the corner of Polly and Fox Streets.
Well, how are you getting on?
Still looking, sir.
Where's your car?
Over there, sir.
Right. I just want to talk to radio headquarters. I'll join you just now. Control. This is Lieutenant Lovis Cockney, Murder Squad Brixton. Over.
Receiving you, sir. Go ahead, please. Over.
I have a serial number of a watch here. I want you to take it down. Over.
Ready when you are, sir.
SDE 1678/621/30/2. It's a Delta, gold color. That number and description is to be circulated to all stations throughout the Republic. If anybody comes across it, the wearer of the watch is to be detained in connection with the Johannesburg murder. We got all that? Over.
Message received and understood, sir.
Right. Over and out. So, where have you looked so far?
We've been through every square yard from Kirk Street South. We've been in passages and backyards everywhere. The men have been very thorough.
Good. Well, the murder was committed over there, outside the bank. It was late. It was dark. And having thumped his victim, the attacker would be in a hurry. He'd tear off the watch and fish the wallet out quickly. The watch he'd stuff into his pocket. Now, what would he do with the wallet?
I don't know, sir.
It's 10 to 1 he'd open it to see if the money was inside. That's if he knew there was money in the wallet. As it happens, there was. The attacker would see the money, and I don't think he'd be able to resist taking it out. Would he put it back again?
I don't think so, sir.
Neither do I. He'd put the money in his pocket. Probably his right-hand hip pocket. Then, what did he do with the wallet?
Keep it.
Would you?
It would depend on what it looked like.
Wouldn't you be afraid that you'd have a hard time explaining where it came from to your friends and family, I mean?
Well, I might. But then why would I keep the watch?
Well, a watch is negotiable. You could sell a watch or explain its presence by saying that you bought it second hand. You can't sell a wallet.
Not without causing raised eyebrows.
So what do you do with it?
Well, you throw it away.
As quickly as possible.
Where?
Somewhere out of sight. Somewhere you think you'll never be seen again. And if you're standing over there... Mr. Brodrake?
Sir?
I want that manhole in the street taken up.
The manhole? It would take 2 men to lift that. The murderer couldn't have done it on his own.
Quite right. But that must be the way into the stormwater drain. The water would flow in from the gutter on the corner there. And that's where I would have thrown the wallet. Now let's have a look.
10:52 a.m. Having sent for keys with which to lift the heavy manhole cover, Lieutenant Lovis Cockney, armed with a torch, descends into the stormwater drain. He is followed by Warrant Officer Brodrake.
Mind my fingers, Mr. Brodrake.
Oh, sorry, sir.
And mind your head when you reach the bottom.
Right, sir.
You can't stand up straight.
Hope there isn't a storm while we're down here, sir.
That's a happy thought, I must say.
Which way do we go?
Shine your torch. Along there. It's not far. Come on. Give me the torch. Thanks. Now, hang on. Now, the water comes in up there. See?
Yes, sir. And there's the wallet.
What did I tell you? Good. The murderer's a fool.
They all are, sir. But why do you say that?
The wallet's shut. There's a snap fastener to it, see? Made of metal.
A fingerprint, sir?
Bound to be. If he's right-handed, we'll find the print of his right index finger.
Well, let's hope so, sir.
Then all we have to find is the chap to whom it belongs.
March the 6th, 10:47 a.m. Lieutenant Lovis Cockney is called to the office of Major Monroe.
Now, fingerprint report from the Criminal Bureau of Pretoria.
Haven't wasted any time, sir.
No. I asked them if they could give it priority. Here's the print they found.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Couldn't be more distinctive, could it?
No, sir. This double loop is a dead giveaway. Plus this little scar.
Yeah, they've checked the records there. Nothing.
Oh. I thought we were doing too well.
Well, what have you been after?
Well, we're still in the process of checking on everybody who was in the Empire Bar last night, sir. Long job. Backbreaking routine.
Yeah, never mind. It's got to be done.
I've got six men working on it, sir.
Well, I'll let you know if anything comes up.
Thank you, sir.
Brehate, Natal, March the 10th, 4:23 p.m. A man is brought to the charge office by two police constables.
Stand over there.
Yeah, what's this one been up to?
Dacharana, Sergeant. Picked him up on the farm road the other side of Kudu's Kraal. We spotted that he had an out-of-town registration number, Transvaal, Krugersdorp. We would have asked him what he was doing there as a matter of routine, that's all. But as we drove up to him, he roared off. So naturally, after we caught him, we wanted to have a look in the boot. 45 pounds of dacha.
All right. You can have a little rest now, you know. In the cells. Give me all your valuables.
What for?
Regulations. You'll get them back later. We put them all in an envelope and you sign for them. Later, when you get them back.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Money. £4.27. What's this? Pocket knife. Just short of being an offensive weapon, eh? Pen. Right, give me your watch.
What for?
Do as you're told, young. That's it. One watch. Delta. Serial number. Just open the back of this watch, will you, Constable?
Right, Sergeant. There you are.
Read out the number, will you?
SDE1678. /621/302.
Right. Anything else?
No.
Silly boy, eh?
Johannesburg, March the 11th, 10:42 a.m. The phone on Lieutenant Lobuskochny's desk rings.
Lieutenant Lobuskochny.
Major Monroe here.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I got what looks like a break for you. A report from Freyhate about that watch in the Nacho case.
Yes, sir.
A Dacha runner picked up on a farm road.
Is he our man?
I don't know. I've only just received the information. You better get down there.
Right, sir. I'm on my way. You say you don't know the Empire Bar?
Oh, I know it, but don't go down there.
All right, that's the thumb. Ink your index finger on the pad there. That's it. Now let's have it on the cart. No, I'll press it. That's it. Now where's my magnifying glass? here we are. What are you laughing at?
I was laughing.
You better not. Stand up straight. Now then. Let's have a look here.
Any luck, sir?
No. This print has a tinted arch. I'm looking for one with a double loop and a little scar. You're a very lucky boy. You were in danger of being booked for murder.
Murder?
Where'd you get this watch?
I bought it.
Yeah? From whom?
A pal of mine.
Uh-huh. And where do I find him?
Well, you mustn't tell him I told you.
What's his name? Where does he live?
He'll stick me out properly if he knows I shot him.
Come on, man. Stop wasting my time. What's his name?
His name's Donnelly. Lives in Boyson's, somewhere in Nelson Street.
Nelson Street. Didn't you ask him where he got it from?
Yes.
Yes, and what did he say?
He said he wanted in a raffle.
March the 12th, 6:30 a.m. Lieutenant Lobuskochny is knocking on the door of a house in Nelson Street, Boyson's, the house in which he has ascertained Donnelly lives.
Police. Is your name Donnelly?
Yeah, that's right.
Cyril Donnelly?
Yeah. What do you want?
Have you ever seen this watch before?
No.
It's never belonged to you?
No. Here's my watch, the one I'm wearing. What's this all about anyway?
Hold up your right hand.
What for?
Because I'm telling you to. Don't mess me about. Because I've got a warrant. Hold up your hand and hold it still.
What are you looking at my finger for?
You've got a little scar on your forefinger here.
Oh, yeah. I got it chipped by a radiator fan once. So what about it?
When you stomped Etienne Nagel to death on the night of March the 4th, you might just as well have left a note with your signature on it. Come on, get dressed. You're coming with me.
In the house in Nelson Street, Lieutenant Lovelace Cockney found a pair of shoes. The heel of the right shoe fitted exactly into the indentation on Etienne Nachel's forehead. More evidence which led to a trial in the Supreme Court. Ultimately, Cyril Donnelly was convicted and sentenced to be hanged. The punishment was carried out at Pretoria Central Prison. They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence, these men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars.